Hi, Esther.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We'll be starting in another minute. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa. Gedula Chaminka. Tati. Zerra. Alathakimu Yitap Sadi. Kabe Arinat. Amcha sagvenu dacharenu nora kufreshayan sintet nun nagibor dorshe yehudcha kevavat shamrem Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. The letters of the month of Cheshvan. The dalet that created the planet Ma'adim, the planet Mars. And the nun that created the constellation Akrav, the astrological sign of Scorpio. Together, the Dalet and the Nun spell the word Din, which translates as judgment. Barhem tacharem rakame sitkatha tamid gamlem betet resh tzaditav kimmel. Hasin kadosh shirov tucha nael adata het kuchpet tet nunayim. Yachid geyeh lamcha pene zokre kidushata. Yud gimel lamed. Zion Kuh. Shavatenu Kabel Ushmatia Katenu Yodea Talumo Shin Kufab Tsariyuta. Now that we have brought the energy of creation into our space, we're going to utilize the 13 attributes of mercy to separate between the positive and the negative aspects of that creation. Adonai Yohe Wahe, Adonai Yohe Wahe, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, V'rav chesed ve'emet, notze chesed la'alafim, notze awon v'afesha, v'chata'a v'nakei.
Ruby.
Now we're going to read the verses that connect to the various energy of the various years, starting with this year of 5777. The year of the goat. There are two verses that we connect to in this year. The energy is the year of the goat. It's also the year of the wake up to do teshuvah. We're starting with Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Tzod Saduni katsipor o yavachinam. These five words, when we take the first letter of the five words, we're able to parse them into three Hebrew words. Satz, ki, ach. And this translates as appear like brothers. The final letters of these five words can be permutated into two Hebrew words. Dir, yam. And this is translated as the Sea of Tenants. And both of these translations, both of these first and last letters, are very meaningful within the context of the energy of the year. The next verse is from Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. And in this chapter, this verse, we have the spelled out letters of the name Tafshin Ayin Zion, the name of the year 5777. And these letters within the verse are separated by an equal letter sequence, or the distance between the letters is always seven letters. And this verse is Kim ba Adonai Yohe Wahe Elohechem Tad Baku Kia Asher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. Now we're going to go to the year 5776, the year of the pause between 2 years, two very potentially negative years, one that we've experienced and one that we are in the present of experiences. We're going to start with 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ha'yulimat v'lo yachlu lehavshit et kol ha'olot Vayechaskum Achechem Halevim Ad Kilot Hamlacha Viad Yitkachu Hakohanim Ki Halevim Yishrelevav Leitkadesh Mehakohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letters, we're able to permute it into eight names of God. Adonai Yohe Wahe La La He Wa 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 Yo La Yo Ala Me Hey 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 Aka Are Kasha. The second verse is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidhu ba Adonai Yohewahe Adead Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Sur Olami. We have three verses that connect us to the energy of the year 5775, the year that we had the potential, and some achieved it, to swallow death forever. Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol ha-machavuiya Asher yitzabei sham v'shavtem Eilai el nachon V'halakti itchem v'chayayim yeshno V'aretz v'chipasti O Tob call Alpha Yehuda. Job chapter 20 verse 7. Kegelo lanetza yoved roav yomru ayo. And there is one verse that connects us to the energy of the year 5774, the year of peace in the Middle East. It's first It's 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 10. Wisam ti makom leami le Israel untati ushakan takta vilo yergaz od vilo yosifu vene avla anoto ha asher barishona. Now we're going to read a verse from the Zohar, from the Parasha Yitro, Pasuk 29, from the Sulam commentary. And we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudsha barichu ishkinte bitzilu. Urhimud hilu urhilu urhimu. L'yakta l'shem yud hei bevav hei. B'yehuda shilim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu konanei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu konanehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekam Atar Taneinan Dekucha Barichu Koma Diaved Leila witata kolaiyo kishot viovada dikshot velet lachmila bialma divae barnash vedach yaleya mineya ulam haga peya kilana deha kulhu. Now we're going to scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. Now also going to be reading the names of the Tzaddikim who chose to leave this evening, which is the 30th of Tishrei, but it's Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan Aleph. Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Chayot, the Maharatz Chayot, the Rav of Zolkov, Rabbi Moshe from Shershov, Rabbi Avraham David Warman of Butchach. And the eighth verse of the Anna B'Koach we say in a whisper. Tonight's class is an essay by Rabbi Ashlag. You can find it on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, row 16, the right-hand column, when you click that link to Rabbi Ashlag's essays, scroll down to class number 21, titled, From All My Flesh I Shall See God. The qualification for the nurturing of the soul. It is impossible to sustain one's body in the world without a certain amount of knowledge about the physical nature, such as knowing which drugs are lethal and what things burn and do harm, as well as knowledge and assessment of what is in one's friend's heart, without which it is impossible to exist in the material world. Just so, man's soul cannot exist in the next world until it has acquired a certain amount of the nature of the systems of the spiritual worlds, their changes, their couplings, and their generations. We discern three periods in the body. The first is from the time of birth, when one has no knowledge whatsoever, and all that is required to know in order to exist comes from the father and mother, and one is sustained by their keeping and wisdom. This state is the first katnut, the first nursing. Could also, I am adding, in Kabbalah, the term katnut relates to smallness as well as nursing, or not nursing. It might be a way to provide a good illusion or illustration of the first state, but it is not accurately translated from the frame of Kabbalah. The second phase state is when a person has grown and acquired some knowledge. All that time, one can keep from things that harm one's body through joint keeping, that of the father and the mother, and that of one's own knowledge that they have gained. And this is the second katnut. And I am adding, the term joint keeping is not clear to us in this time. Rabbi Ashlag is telling us that when someone has learned some information on how to keep their body safe, along with the recommendations of their parents, and they have grown to this second level. The second katnut is the second smallness, although this katnut is larger than the first katnut. And the third state is the state of gadlut, adulthood, largeness. When one has acquired sufficient knowledge for life to look after oneself enough to survive, at that time one departs the authority of one's father and mother and acquires self-rule. This is the third state, the state of gadlut. I am adding, the Kabbalistic translation of gadlut is largeness or bigness. Again, adulthood is an allegorical or practical translation. One needs to realize that when one translates, there is much lost in the translation, and the translation can be misleading. In my opinion, these translations are misleading because they're not directing us to the idea of the Kabbalah. Likewise, concerning the soul, a person reincarnates only until one acquires the wisdom of truth in full. Without them, the soul cannot reach its full level. But it is not that the knowledge one has acquired raises the level of the soul. Rather, it is the soul's inherent nature that it will not grow by its own effort before it has acquired the knowledge of the spiritual nature. Its growth depends on the measure of its knowledge. And I am adding, The above paragraph is describing the process of gaining knowledge by the soul about the spiritual laws and procedures. The growth of the soul depends on where in this process the individual soul has grown to. The reason this is so is that if one could grow without knowing, it would be harmed. Like an infant who is ignorant and cannot walk. If it could walk on its own feet, it would throw itself into a fire. However, the growth comes primarily through good deeds, which depend on attaining the wisdom of truth. And both the knowledge and the good deeds depend on attaining this wisdom of truth. And for the above reason, both come together. This is the meaning of, if you know not, go forth. Go forth and see, etc. And I am adding, both coming together refers to knowledge and good deeds, to make sure that it's clear to everyone. Therefore, each complete soul attains all the souls from Adam, Arishon, to the end of correction as one perceives one's acquaintances and neighbors, and according to one's knowledge, guards oneself from them, or connects and lives with them. And it is not surprising that one attains all the souls, since spirituality does not depend on time or place, and there is no death there. My commentary. What does attain all souls mean? Remember, there is no disappearance in spirituality. Therefore, we all are still part of Adam HaRishon, or Chava, his wife. Our souls are still part of each and every reincarnation. This is the meaning of attaining all souls, in my opinion. Body and soul. Everybody is impatient and ill-tempered, for its livelihood is through incarnations, through the 7 years of famine and the 7 years of abundance. It is an inexorable law that the years of famine cause the years of abundance to be forgotten, and the body reincarnates between them, like stones grinded by water. And another plight awaits all around it. It imagines that one's friend is happy and content. This comes because at its basis the soul is grinded between the good inclination and the evil inclination. It incarnates between them, at times feeling relief by the surrounding good inclination, and at times suffering an additional plight by the surrounding evil inclination. My commentary. The section titled Body and Soul seems clear to me. If there are any questions, please ask them. Obtaining knowledge in corporeality or physicality and spirituality. The connection between the body and the soul is only that in the former, things happen to it naturally and by themselves, and in the latter, they happen through work and joint relation between the spiritual and the physical. The advantage of the spiritual over the physical is that in the corporal or physical, there is reality, even without attaining all the incidents. Similar to the perception of an infant who does not know the reason for the thing and will also not eat something that is harmful. But in the spiritual, no reality is attained prior to knowing the events and their outcomes. To the extent of the knowledge of the events, so is the attainment of one's own greatness. and the attainment of the surrounding spiritual reality. My commentary. The above section also seems clear. One comment, for those who are clear and knowledgeable of the four phases, the body has component parts that are phase four, and the ruach level of soul is related to as phase three. This teaches that the body has components that are not totally immortal, and parts that are totally immortal, while the soul has only immortal aspects. The revelation of the works of the Creator in concealment. Then I was by him as a master craftsman, and I was daily a delight. Our sages interpreted it to mean to inform that prior to the days of the Messiah, when receiving proselytes, the craftsmen come out toward them, and each craftsman plays with him. On the first day, he reveals the lights. On the second, he makes the firmaments, etc. These are the six work days, and all the light in resting on the seventh day, placing in it sanctity and blessing to the worlds. This is the meaning of what our sages said, that prior to bringing the first fruit, all the craftsmen stand before them. That is precisely when they are called wise. However, the craftsmen do not stand before disciples of the wise. Come and see how great is a mitzvah in its time. The merit of the Sabbath is that it is the blessing and sanctity to correct all the weekdays. And although it seems as though the connection depends on the workdays and not on the days of rest, in which one does not work at all, it is not so. Rather, the blessing and sanctity of the Sabbath corrects the weekdays. Indeed, each correction seemingly requires work, but in truth, the power of the Creator appears in full only in concealment. For when the power of concealment disappears from the world, perfection promptly appears by itself. And as one who throws one's staff to the firmament, the staff flies up because the power of the thrower is in it. Therefore, the entire duration of the flight is attributed to the power of the thrower. Also, the strength of the thrower appears at that time. Conversely, during its whole return and fall toward the earth, the power of the thrower is not attributed to the fall at all. Rather, it returns to its root by itself, without any assistance. Similarly, in all the concealments, the work of the Creator is apparent, but in the return to perfection, no work or power is required, because in the absence of the preventing force, it returns to its root and perfection by itself. This is the meaning of "and God rested on the seventh day," for in it he rested from all his work. That is, on that day, the power of the work of the Creator was removed from the world, after having worked to establish it in its current form throughout the work days. But on the seventh day, no power worked, but it was left alone, as it is written, "And I will take away my hand." Thus, naturally, the force of perfection is imprinted, specifically on that day, so that the power of concealment will not work here. My commentary. This whole section is confusing to me, and I think it is a corrupted translation. In essence, the section is telling us that the Shabbat is the cause of the energy we have to work with during the following week. We know this, yet it is not clear from this discussion. Be right with you. Attaining the spiritual form. It is likewise in attaining the spiritual form. The attaining errs in its two forms. One, that it will not be imaginary whatsoever. And two, that its attainment will be beyond any doubt. Just as one does not doubt one's own existence. The title spiritual indicates that it is resembled to the wind. In Hebrew, the word is ruach, which means both spirit and wind, where although the wind has no edge, similitude, or appearance, no person doubts its existence, since one's life depends on it. If the wind is sucked out of a house, should an animal be taken there, it will die. Hence, its existence is obvious, for it is one's life. And from the physical, we can understand the spiritual. The essence of the inner mind is similar to the interior of the body, which is called the soul of every flesh, regarded as havaya, with its deficiency. Likewise, the internality of the mind, called the intellectual soul, is also deficient, havaya. It is so because such a being which feels its existence feels its deficiencies. This is not so in animals, which are completely devoid of that perception and are completely devoid of the intellectual soul and its internality. Because of it, they feel its deficiency to the extent required for their physical existence. Its vitality is measured by the extent of the consistency of the sensation or lack. And if it does not feel a lack, it cannot feed itself and continue its existence, and it dies. Moreover, its size and health depend on the sensation of the lack, like the physical body, where the healthier also has a greater appetite, and therefore eats more, and thus grows bigger and healthier. My commentary. Many people have recognized that an animal, after a number of years with a married or single person or a couple, begins to look like the person. Kabbalah explains that parts of the person or couple's soul become connected to the soul of the animal. Now, animals that have not received these sparks never feel a lack and do not get human diseases like arthritis, heart disease, and other human illnesses. The need to attain the emanator. We must still know the lack that the intellectual soul feels. Let me tell you that it is the need to attain its emanator, for it is engraved in its nature to crave to know its emanator and creator, since it feels its own existence. That is, it has been prepared by default to search what is above. It cannot be said that this lack is not defined in attaining the emanator, but that is rather pursues all the secrets and wishes to know about supernatural things and incarnations and about what is in one's friend's heart and so forth. This is not according to the rule that I have written above. that the internality of the matter is that which does not extend oneself. If it were, a lack for attainment would be depicted only in its maker. But it is clear that only this attainment is an internal lack, which is not called an offshoot, but an inquiry in the creatures is an extension toward others. For had there not been creations in the world, such as if it were the only creation, it would not have been pursuing to attain them whatsoever. But attaining its emanator is a deficiency toward itself, and this is its being. That is, it feels itself as an emanated being. All its events aim toward it, and this is the deficiency that it feels, that it will be able to attain its emanator. And to the extent that it perceives that vision, we can accurately measure the size of its own body. My commentary. This section is clear as it is written to me. If it's not to you, if there are questions, feel free to ask. Attaining the emanator. It is written, for you did not see any image. This requires interpretation, for what fool would think and gather that there is any physical similitude in the Creator? But in truth, this is why there is attainment in the Creator in the world, for no desire awakens for that which does not exist in reality. Rather, we can discuss this in the spiritual kind and in its ordinances, which is more spiritual than the whole of reality. This is the meaning of the mind, whose form grips man's sensation in discerning truth and falsehood. This distinction is called the mind's body, according to the perception of the physical ones. For this reason, this discernment was defined as part of God above, which is truly devoid of any similitude, but is only gripped in the senses and is called a decision or reality or absence of reality, which is clarified in laws and ways. That verse is called the body of the mind and its image. We can say about it that this verse is part of God above, for which the image is included in oneself, and one's perception of oneself, and one's existence. The image in this verse is a complete and constant image of its situation, which cannot be completely annulled or slightly. It is called a proven and necessary form without additions or subtractions. This is the meaning of I, and you shall not have. We heard them from the Mighty One. The word I also includes you shall not have, meaning that if the Creator had necessarily been revealed to them, no law or warning would have been depicted. You shall not have. But the Creator would have been revealed to them by his will, and it would not be an imperative. It is like a person who shows his wealth to his friend and tells him, I can show it to you, but now you do not recognize my wealth at all. So exert yourself to remember this form, and then I will want to give you part of my wealth. Let alone that you will see all my wealth as long as you keep this form in your memory. That is, I did not give you that decision by an imperative on which there is no ruler. Rather, I am the ruler, for all the earth is mine. All the seeing is with his simple will. And when I want you, you will remember even what you saw in the vision. And when I do want, you will always see me. Moreover, I will also remind you all of the forgotten things. This is from the wonders of the Creator, who cannot be depicted by any intellect, meaning to grasp the matter in full, while keeping that man's mind, and it is voluntary and not compulsory, to remain for the governance of the Upper One. My commentary. Everyone has an image of themselves in their mind. For most people, this image is of themselves at the age of 20 to 25 years of age. This is the body of the mind. This section is telling us that this image is and will be used to connect to Hashem during meditation. It also may, in my opinion, will be used by us to resurrect ourselves once the body-soul combination is resurrected, as we exist when we enter the grave. Recognizing the attainment only by the path of Torah. I wonder at the researchers of godliness, whose entire research is a disgrace to us, for they exert to bring evidence to what is known and does not require evidence, and repel and slight what is concealed from the denial of the physical boundaries. The truth is that the first perception does not need any philosophical proof, since it is the first concept wherever one turns. It is similar to asking a person, who wrote this wondrous book of wisdom? And he answered that indeed there is no such a sage in the world, but it just happened that his little boy spilled ink on those parchments, which then spread in the form of letters, creating these combinations and connections of wondrous words of wisdom. Hanoch is adding, do we need to say that this image is absurd? Indeed, all concealments are from his providence to the creatures, and their denial is also among the physical boundaries. But about this they keep utterly silent, for indeed it can only be kept in the way of Torah and mitzvot, and not by any scrutiny in the world. You should also know that the existence of reality must extend from the sensation of providence. This is called complete awareness, which brings with it his love and his pleasant bounty. It is not so with that which extends through the dry intellectual scrutiny. This knowledge neither adds nor subtracts. This is the meaning of what our sages said, that there is he who is present and he who is absent. It follows that all the souls of Israel were present at the foot of Mount Sinai, because from that event extend all the souls of Israel throughout the generations. It is, as we said, that it concerns the bodily soul, which is Havaya, and its deficiency with it. Extending its vitality depends on determining the deficiency. For were the seeing not positive, the intellectual soul would not have been deficient any longer. Thus it would not be able to eat to satiation, and would therefore be canceled altogether. I am adding, if one does not feel a lack, one cannot perfect that lack through the fulfillment by Hashem. But it is a wonder that the rule about seeing is that the desire promptly accompanies it without any forcing and promptly gives nourishment to establish this desire, as it is written. Any forcing, as it is written, that your days may be multiplied, which is the keeping of the Torah and its statutes. In this way, the law about seeing is evident, as though they have received it from Sinai today. And each day it is as new to them, for on that depends the law regarding seeing. But when they break any law in the Torah, they promptly remain in the dark, as blind people who have never seen light. The essence of the intellectual perception. You already know that the intellectual ones with bodies are not robbed of knowing their emanator whatsoever, just as they are not robbed of knowing their friends who are like them. It is so because a friend, like a brother, does not recognize only their spirit and internality without any clothing, since the mind itself is already wrapped in clothing, meaning the power of imagination. And because one cannot imagine a spiritual form, that whole kind is invisible to him, and yet his gaze constantly falls on the externality, meaning one's friend's body and physical movements. And by persistence, they will thoroughly recognize all the spiritual degrees in it. For this is all he wants to know, and not his own body flesh. Of course, he will not feel any lack or sadness at not knowing his mind and degrees in it, in its actual spiritual form, for he is not obligated to know his friend more than he knows himself, and even his own internality he does not attain. For this reason, when the creature is well versed in all the laws of nature and its physical ordinances, and observes them diligently, it can be said that he knows the Creator face to face. It is one that speaks to one's friend, where each of his parts is adhered to his friend in similarity, meaning a power of imagination of intellectual forms and movements. And when we research the essence of the mind to the best of our abilities, we will find that it is by the gathering of spiritual beings, and from that collection extends its conducts. That is, all of man's advantages over the beast is that in man there is an organ that can gather within its spiritual being. And I am adding, imagination is what gathers these spiritual beings. This is not the way most people think of imagination. Likewise, the advantage of one person over another is in the amount of the power of the above mentioned extension, and in the forms of the beings themselves. For one extends important beings, and another beings that are not so important. The difference between a spiritual being and the governance is that a boundary of the being is an intellectual image that extends and is present in one's mind, unchanged, meaning it cannot be explained through events that happen over time. And the governance falls under the influence of time and place. It is just as one who is naturally stingy can give a big donation once in his life due to the place or to its timing. My commentary. This section is clarifying the body of the mind, how we imagine ourselves irrespective of how we have actually acted, versus how we have actually acted under various circumstances. When these two images reflect each other, and we have achieved our tikkun, and we have a strong connection to the Creator as a level of consciousness, as a tzaddik or a tzaddeket. Extension. extensions that gather in one's mind. Know that the above-mentioned preparation called man's mind is like a drop from the extract of all the organs and qualities of the physical body. It becomes attached to the first extension that gather and extend to one's mind. For example, while still a child, a person watches the conducts of the world and the Creator. Some of them become attached to knowledge, some to wealth, and some to power. If he chooses the quality of knowledge because he likes it, it follows that he drew into himself a good creation, from which good conducts will extend. But if he clings to wealth, it is said that he drew into his mind an inferior spiritual being. Later, when he grows, he sees more measures. For example, one man leaves all the physical possessions and dedicates himself to learning, while another chooses learning but still engages in worldly matters. If the child nurtures the merit of the first, then he has extended a good idea, a good being, into his mind. But if he favors the second one, then he has drawn into himself an inferior being. Afterward come types of learning, from the Creator or from the creatures, and afterward he checks whether to receive the reward or to not receive the award. All these images are created beings, and from that collection one substance is made, titled mind. My commentary. This essay explained what it means to have a mind, which is different than a brain. It does not ask where is the location of the mind. My opinion is that mind is an aspect of the Creator. Each person's mind is a segregated aspect of the mind of the Creator, and one day this will all become unified. That's the end of this essay. Does anyone have any questions? Tomorrow at 4:30 Pacific time, we will have a mini Zohar class. And at 7 p.m. Pacific time, we will have our Rosh Chodesh connection. And as you heard earlier, with the letters that created the month of Cheshvan and the astrological sign, it's important that people make the connection this particular month. It's important every month, but especially important this month. So I hope you will join us tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Wednesday at 4:30 will be a mini Zohar class, and at 7 o'clock our questions and answers session. Thursday at 4:30 will be an advanced reincarnation class, and at 7 o'clock will be a Zohar class. Friday, there are no classes, while Saturday, there is Havdalah at our 6 o'clock time, and at 7 o'clock, a Zohar class that is the first opportunity to connect to the Zohar within the frame of the new energy. I wish you all shalom, peace, serenity, happiness, joy, and we'll speak to you tomorrow, Bizrat Hashem. Shalom to all.
Shalom, thank you.
Shalom, thank you.